This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Headed from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey's season comes to an end, not with a bang, but with a whimper.
And there the final whistle goes. The referee has brought to an end Portsmouth's afternoon and their season, and Portsmouth have blown it. They've missed out on the chance of being in the League One playoffs.
The Blues missed out on the chance to finish inside the League One playoffs following yesterday's defeat to Accrington Stanley. This afternoon, head coach Danny Cowley put pen to paper on a new permanent deal at Fratton Park, and he has sent an encouraging message to the Pompey supporters.
I can promise that there'll be exciting times to come because we won't rest until we make that happen and make that a reality. And we'll be working incredibly hard to make sure that we create a Portsmouth team that the people can be proud of.
Are the Cowley brothers the right men to take the club forward? How many of the current crop of players would you like to see remain for next season? And what will the target be for 2022? Would playoffs suffice, or should we be expecting automatic promotion? You can get in touch tonight between now and 7 with all of your post-match thoughts and any questions you'd like to put to the panel. A very good evening and welcome to the penultimate episode of the season. This is the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome again to the Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Making an essential trip this week? Download the Stagecoach app now to find your nearest bus stop and even pay for your ticket too. And please remember that you must wear a face covering when using public transport as per current government guidelines. Unfortunately, with yesterday's failure to secure a top six finish, we've entered the final week of this season's Pompey coverage. Tonight's edition of the Football Hour will be followed up by Friday with the final show of the campaign, where I'll be joined by my Pompey Live colleagues Liam Howes and Ryan Stilwell to review the Blues 2020-2021 season, as well as reveal the Express FM goal of the season, as chosen by you, our loyal listeners. Tonight, however, we will be recording an inquest into the events at Fratton Park at the weekend, where all Pompey had to do was win, and the final remaining playoff spot was theirs. 81400 is the number to text if you'd like to get involved with the discussion this evening. Put the word Express at the start of your messages. You can include at Express FM within your tweets, email Pompey at expressfm.com, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. We're going to start off tonight by turning the clocks back to Sunday lunchtime, when the Blues embarked upon their final game of the season. Match day number 46 saw Accrington Stanley come to town with the aim of securing their highest ever Football League finish and to deny Pompey a place in the League One top six.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Ryan Williams is over the ball in the centre circle and gets this vital game in League One underway. Portsmouth against Accrington Stanley. Portsmouth win and they are in the promotion playoffs, which will start in 10 days' time. Cameron Burgess sends the ball for Accrington into the area. It's nodded down. Bishop works it to Rogers on the right. Accrington have got plenty of players forward here and there's a chance. Shot on goal is into the net and Accrington have taken the lead. It's Phillips, just his second of the season for Accrington. Portsmouth shell-shocked after a bright start. Midway through the first half, Portsmouth 0, Accrington 1.
As McConville is sending Ben Barkley over towards the right-hand side.
McConville's going to lead this. I think Phillips might fancy hitting this from here. It's a long way out, but Phillips strikes it well, and McGilvery saves brilliantly down to his right. Corner kick. Portsmouth have a free kick to defend, which they must do, and everyone is back. The box is still packed with six red shirts. Delivery comes in towards the edge of the six-yard box, and it's in. It's a second goal, but the offside flag saves Portsmouth, and Colby Bishop can't believe it. It was a great delivery, and Portsmouth survive, and they're going to go into the interval just 1-0 down. But Brown was able to win it and find Curtis. And Brown sprints up the pitch to try and join him as Curtis makes great ground driving forward. Should he play Williams in? He decides to go himself. And Curtis shoots and puts it just wide. In fact, it's tipped wide by Savin. Corner kick. Daniels finds himself in midfield as Pompey go forward. And that's lovely play from Harness. And Charlie Daniels in the box. And Daniels shot his save. Did he go to ground? Should that have been a penalty? Play on, says the referee. Marquis on the right-hand side. Can he deliver a cross with his left foot to the far post? Hawula, it's over his head and it's behind for a Pompey corner. Referee decides we keep going. We've got a little bit longer as Charles is going to chase a through ball. McGilvery comes out of his area for Portsmouth and clears it over halfway. High ball, and there the final whistle goes. The referee has brought to an end Portsmouth's afternoon and their season, and Portsmouth have blown it. They've missed out on the chance of being in the League One playoffs. A win would have done so. They've lost to Accrington Stanley by a goal to nil. The Pompey players are on their backs, looking up towards the heavens. They know they've missed a glorious chance to make the top six. Accrington have beaten Portsmouth by a goal to nil.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham there calling the action on Sunday as Pompey failed to take advantage of their position going into kickoff. Oxford United were victorious by 4-0 over Burton Albion, so they claimed the final remaining playoff place. In doing so, the Blues became the first team in near on 50 years to be top at Christmas and not even finish inside the playoffs, ending the campaign in 8th, as Charlton Athletic also won, beating champions Hull City by a goal to nil to take 7th. Joining me tonight to talk about all of the action from yesterday's defeat, as well as to help summarise the season as a whole, first and foremost, a very good evening and welcome back to Mr. Jamie Spencer. Jamie, a pleasure to have you back on, my friend.
Thank you, Jake. Yeah, I would say good to be here, but it would have been nicer in other circumstances, wouldn't it?
It definitely would have done, Jamie. It would have been nicer to have another few weeks of coverage, but there we go. Joining you tonight, Jamie, this evening, making it a hat-trick of J's on the show, Josh Sweetman. Josh, likewise, mate, great to hear from you, and my thanks for agreeing to call in tonight.
It's good to be back as always, Jake.
So, I'm afraid we've got to do it, lads. Yesterday's game. Jamie, we'll start off with you. Pompey went into kickoff at midday, Sunday lunchtime, in pole position to take the final remaining playoff place. All they had to do was beat Accrington Stanley, but if we're being totally honest, they came absolutely nowhere near doing so.
No, unfortunately not, did they? And, you know, it's an end to a season that I think probably the 90 minutes yesterday summed up our whole season, really, didn't it? It was the way the game panned out, the lack of real endeavour in terms of being able to pull our socks up and create chances. It really did go out with a whimper. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of reaction from people across social media that I've seen and speaking to other Pompey fans over the last 24 hours. And I think that's the bit that people are most disappointed about, is that it's not the fact that we didn't get there, because I think most Pompey fans were pragmatic about the fact that the playoffs were going to be a massive ask for us, even if we got there, given the form that we were going into, 2 wins in 8 games, you know, it would have potentially been a third if we'd won yesterday. But, you know, you want to be going into the playoffs on the back of a run of form, and we didn't really have that. And the sides in that playoff picture were going to prove a very, very tough test for us. So maybe yesterday was delaying the inevitable to an extent, but you wanted those last few games, and the playoffs is a lottery, like so many people say. So it's incredibly disappointing to bow out the way we did, yeah.
Yeah, and the way that Pompey did bow out of that game yesterday and of the season as a whole, Josh, and I think a lot of reaction on social media, and I don't think anyone could really disagree with the fact that, you know, you look at that performance yesterday and it just came across as if there was a real lack of effort shown by the players. In a game like that, arguably the biggest game of the season, you've had 45 matches, but it all comes down to that one 90-minute game. That is when you want every single player, 1 to 11, to be right on the top of their game, 110% effort, and nothing less. We didn't see that. We didn't see that at all.
No, we didn't. And I think, really, the players have to take 100% of the blame for that. It's hard with the Cowleys because they've come in and they've done a good job. And they've done a good job with players that I think clearly will be told that they don't suit their system. And yesterday, yesterday was almost nothing short of a disgrace when it comes to performance, because I can fully accept in that second half if we'd lost 2 or 3 nil, throwing everything at it, knowing you have to win, I'd rather we'd lost and conceded a few more goals and throwing everything at it. But other than, I think, what Charlie Daniels shot, I can't remember us really ever looking like scoring. I don't think Accrington really broke sweat in defence. And the worst thing for me is, especially what we were seeing on social media after, like some of the players going out for drink. But no issue with the players going out for drinks. I fully expect at the end of the season, but you've just put in a performance like that, and then you post it all over social media. Like you're going to get a reaction, and Pompey fans wouldn't have cared if we looked at something yesterday, but we just looked like we never ever were going to score. We could have played for the entirety of the playoff campaign and we still wouldn't have scored yesterday. That's how I felt. And as I said, I don't really put the blame on the managers. I'm delighted that they're staying, but when you have to win one game, you have to treat it like a cup final. And you would have thought in that first half that Accrington were the team that needed the win and not us.
Yeah, they certainly came down to Fratton Park, Jamie Accrington, Stanley, with the game plan of which they executed better than us. But like Josh has just alluded to there, they came down with the right mentality to win the game. They had nothing to play for apart from really pride and finishing as high up the table as they could. But they came down to Fratton Park and they looked the hungrier of the two teams on the day. We speak about a lack of effort shown by the players. We've gone past that now. I think Josh has also rightfully mentioned the events of last night and the fan reaction on social media to certain posts being put up and the players enjoying themselves and whatever. That's not going to go down too well. But, analysing the game in itself, Pompey, again, from 1 to 11, careless in possession, too many sloppy passes and really too many passengers in the game.
Jake, I think you look at a team like Accrington Stanley and the name sort of precedes them a little bit, but what a fantastic job John Common and that side have done this season. One of the smallest budgets in the league and every single season they come out and they are competitive, they perform. You look at the run of games they've had coming into the end of the season and the results they've picked up as a result. They've done us a few favours. They've taken teams off of, points off of Charlton and others that we've been jostling with for positions because it's instilled within the club. And I think, we can talk about all of the stuff last night, but I think if you look at the attitude and the sum of the parts for Accrington being greater than the whole, they are better as a team. They don't let standout individuals dictate and run the play. And the thing that I think made the Cowleys decision a really easy one for everyone, and I think all Pompey fans are everyone that I've seen certainly is united around the fact that they're staying and because they get it. They understand the expectation. They understand the bar. They understand what it means to play for this club and represent this club. And unfortunately, throughout a sustained period of time now, we've had a set of players that have abused that right a little. And there's been no... I've seen so many comparisons over the last 24 hours to Michael Doyle. What would have happened if Michael Doyle was out there on that pitch yesterday? And we all know. It would not have panned out the way that it went because he would have either been sent off because he would have left every single bit of him out on that pitch and made sure that everyone knew he was there. But secondly, he would have demanded from the rest of his side that they came up to his level. And unfortunately, yesterday, we did not have that.
Strong words from Jamie Spencer, but totally true. I don't think there's anything you can argue with in that, Josh. We're going to come on a little later in the show. We'll talk about Danny Cowley's contract extension. We'll also talk about the players at Fratton Park that are out of contract this season and really the future of this Blues squad. But you really can't disagree with anything Jamie said there. It's just been it's been a total letdown throughout the entire campaign. I don't think there's any shying away from that. A lot of the brunt came down to the previous manager, Kenny Jackett. We saw him dismissed in March, but really the problems continued. And again, it's something you can't shy away from. They are rooted deep within this squad, and nothing less than an overhaul, a big, big overhaul in the summer is needed. I think if Pompey are, you know, really true about their ambitions of going up automatically next season.
100% agree, and Jamie was completely right. I mean, the squad, it's not even the squad. The entire club needs a facelift. It's right through the academy, and it's tough to say, but you look at it and you almost feel that it's rotten from the core. And wherever, like, there's just issues at the club. And Jamie was right. Like, if I'd walked off that pitch yesterday having put a performance like that, like, I struggled to look at myself in the mirror. But because fans, like, Pompey fans don't expect much, but they expect you to go out and run your heart out for 90 minutes. Mm. And as I said earlier, we could still be playing today, and I don't think we'd have scored. But I think the good thing is that we haven't taken the time to get the Cowley contract sorted. It's been done and dusted straight away. It's come out that he has got a bit of money to play with, and he's been asked to reinvent Pompey, which is 100% what we need.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they might have been Kenny Jackett's players, but you might not. It's a tough one. Like, they might have been Jackett's players, but you can still go and put a performance on. As I said, if we'd come off that pitch losing 1-0, but throwing everything at it, you don't mind. But we went out without a whimper. And I don't think I could name on one hand players. If you ask me who I'd keep tomorrow, three or four of the entire squad.
Mm.
And I think that says it all, really. And I think every Pompey fan's in agreement that essentially I think we're looking at, we want to be looking at 15, 16 new players probably during the summer.
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
You're right, and the thing that's most frustrating for us fans out there is that we've seen it in patches from this side. We've seen how good this side can be when it's on its day. You know, you look at the first Cowley game against Ipswich, it was like watching a new team. You know, the press was incredible. The lack of, you know, options that we had before that in the run of games where we just weren't creating any chances, that there was some real effort and determination to want and a desire to go and want to win the ball back. And even when we conceded the first goal, you know, we hadn't won in whatever it was 3 years before that when we conceded first, and you just knew that the players were up for the challenge on that day. You know, that was the platform. We then go and win our next three, you think, right, we're on to something here. And then to go and win two of the next eight towards the end of the season, you know, Kenny Jackett's probably sat there feeling quite vindicated, because he's going, do you know what? The Cowleys really haven't. I got as much out of this team than the Cowleys did, and have done. And you know, that's his fault, because he had ultimately the selection of bringing those players to this club. But the Cowleys have now got an opportunity to clear the decks because of so many players being out of contract. It's such a crucial summer for us now. Because, you know, as much as we can sit here and be negative about the players that we've got, there will be some that will remain next season and will be given opportunity to sort of put things right. There will be others that won't. And those that won't, I just wonder how they feel about having played their last game in a Portsmouth shirt and it ending that way. Yeah. Because if you're looking at other clubs and you're going, you know, I'm looking at these Portsmouth players out of contract, what's the perception of them? And that for me would be really worrying if that was my career that was on the line.
We've got a lot of disgruntled Pompey fans on social media, text tweets and emails, as you can imagine. Rightfully so, I think, after yesterday's game. We'll read one out before we do head to our first break of the night. Carol on Hailing Island, she says, I watched the game on Sunday. I've never seen such a bunch of pathetic lot of so-called footballers in my life. They couldn't keep a hold of the ball. They just kept giving it away. Just pathetic. Carol on Hailing Island there. But still plenty of time for you to have your say this evening. Let us know how you're feeling about yesterday's result and the performance, having had over 24 hours to digest it all. Have you calmed down yet, or are you still feeling quite angry? However you feel, get in touch. Let us know. Just please Keep it clean. You can either text your name and message starting with the word express to 81400. Email pompey at expressfm.com. There's Twitter where at expressfm is what to include within your tweets. Or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/pompeylive. After the break, we'll take a listen to the post-match thoughts of Blues head coach Danny Cowley, who was not holding back with his summary of Pompey's season.
I think as a group and as a playing squad, we'll probably finish where we deserve to, because after 46 games, I don't think the league table lies. I think if we're honest and we're dealing in the truth, then I think ultimately we got what we deserved.
You're listening to the Football Hour here on Express FM. I'll be back very shortly with more passionate Blues debate and discussion with tonight's guests, Jamie Spencer and Josh Sweetman, in just a few moments' time.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to part two of this Monday Football Hour, brought to you by Stagecoach Across the South, getting you across the South Coast and through Hampshire with a minimum of fuss. Visit stagecoachbus.com for more information on the services they provide, as well as what they are doing to minimalise pollution. Let's get to some of more of the text, tweets and emails coming into us tonight then. Plenty of them to read through, as you can probably imagine. Linda Mayo on the emails, we'll start with her. She says, well, that was another letdown by the team for the fans. I don't expect to win every match, but I expect the players to give their all. Yesterday, you would have thought that there wasn't anything to play for. Going top at Christmas was good to see, but probably only papering over the cracks. We've been inconsistent all season. We should have made the managerial change after the Oxford playoff game. The team that took us from League 2 to League 1 is probably the better one than this. On paper, this squad looks good, but like we said before, we don't play on paper. Going forward, we need a team to give 90 minutes, and we probably need a creative midfielder and a forward, just to name a few. At least sorting out the managerial situation early will allow them to get on with rebuilding the team, and hopefully the owners will recognise this and back the manager to achieve this and get a team that is good enough to make a challenge for promotion next season. The thought of Linda Mayle on the emails there. We've got plenty more to get through. Finlay Whitfield on Twitter. Many people saying that we should get rid of 14-plus players. I think that's largely too much. Overhaul, yes, but 12 are out of contract. A few of those I would keep to replace other players. First, we need willing buyers. The thoughts of Finlay Whitfield on Twitter. Nigel on the text. Good evening to you. The Cowleys deserve the opportunity to build an improved and most importantly, mentally stronger / fitter squad for next season. There's a good reason that have only performed good for half a season. It's time now to create a future blueprint and identity. Play at Pompey, Nigel on the text there. Some more to get through as well. Graham Snow on the emails. Pompey were not good enough to make the playoffs. If they did make it, they would not have won. With this crop of players, the Cowleys are the right team to take us on to the next level, but we'll need a complete overhaul, which starts now to rebuild for the next season. Graham Snow on the emails there. And really just, there's nothing really positive to mention, is there, Jamie? Apart from the new contract that has been handed to Danny, Nicky, Cowley. Again, we'll talk about that a little later on, but other than that, It feels like we are, you know, banging the same drum, but
no, it is. And
what
you
else
know,
can
you look
say?
At the past few seasons, Jake, and it's been the same reoccurring issues that we're seeing that have come up. I remember being on the show actually earlier in the season, just as the January transfer window came to an end, and it's criminal how we didn't go and get ourselves another striker, given we had two recognised leading frontmen at that point. You know, Hiwula, for all of his endeavour, he's not a striker. He's not what I'd define as an out-and-out striker. And you were always playing such a dicey game with having only two strikers and keeping your fingers crossed that both were going to remain fit. And you know, that came and bit us, unfortunately. I'm not sat here making excuses for the side, but the January recruitment for us over the past few seasons has been shocking. Mm. It's been terrible. The players we do bring in don't seem to challenge or break into the side consistently. That, for me, is the biggest point, because at this season, especially of all seasons, that was the time to go, we are going to go and give this a real push. And you know, to win promotion out of this league, you need to score goals. And reliant and being solely reliant on two players knowing full well that anything can happen out there to get you the majority of your goals is always going to really, really hamper that. And I think we need to learn lessons from that. You know, we can sit here moaning at the players, but actually, you know, the board do have to take a certain amount of accountability for this, because they have the responsibility for those purse strings. They have the responsibility to make sure that the managers have enough to give a competitive edge out on that pitch come Saturday at 3 o'clock. And I felt as though we sold ourselves short by the decision that we made. Easier for me to say. Sold ourselves short with the decisions that we made in January.
Paul O'Neill on Facebook says, we didn't deserve anything. This should have been like a World Cup final, but we played with fear and no passion or desire, and we are found wanting in so many areas. A massive rebuild is needed in the summer, as a lot of the current squad are not fit to wear the shirt. I hope the Cowleys moving forward are given the tools to get this great club back to where they belong. Ambition needs to be shown by the Eisners in terms of a playing squad. No more excuses. Play at Pompey. Paul O'Neill there on Facebook. Plenty of tweets to read through as well. Coming in, text, tweets, emails, loads of them. Do keep getting them in. We want to know all of your thoughts tonight, Pompey fans. Where did it all go wrong for Pompey yesterday? Were they unlucky, or was that result coming? Who would you like to see remain at the club for next season? And are you happy with the permanent appointment of the Cowley brothers at Fratton Park? Text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. Tweet at ExpressFM. Send an email to pompey@expressfm.com or find us at facebook.com/Pompey Live. We're going to take a few minutes away now to catch up with Blues boss Danny Cowley. He spoke to Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team after the final whistle on Sunday afternoon.
Well, Danny, just sum up your emotions immediately after that one.
Yeah, we're obviously bitterly disappointed, really disappointed with our first half display. I thought we started the game okay in the first 10 minutes, played with an energy and urgency that we anticipated, and we lost our way probably from the 10th minute through to 45, and we weren't able to get the control that we wanted. We wanted to be braver than we were. Obviously picked a team that we felt would be brave. We know their threat and their direct threat. They have an outstanding target man in Colby Bishop. We have a movement forward in Johnny Marquez, and a brilliant movement forward in Johnny Marquez, and we knew that we had to try to get control and rhythm in the game, and we probably weren't brave enough first half. I was disappointed we weren't able to get our sixes on the ball more, and as a consequence we weren't able to get the control that we wanted first half. And if we're honest, I think we could easily have been 2-0 down at half time. I thought there was a response second half. I thought we were able to wrestle the control in the game. I thought we had all the possession and the territory, but second half we just lacked the action before the final action. And the final action, I think their goalkeeper was man of the match, maybe, I don't know, but I think maybe he makes some good saves, but I would expect more from us in the final third, if I'm honest. And I think if we'd have found one goal, we might have found two. But yeah, if we're being fair, I think as a group and as a playing squad, we'll probably finish where we deserve to, because after 46 games, I don't think the league table lies.
You mentioned the second half response. Obviously part of that was a triple change that you made.
Yeah, we just wanted to be offensive. We had to score two goals. We felt that they pressed with a two, so we were building with a three with one of our sixes to come down, then close. We just thought that if we started with a three, we would be able to do that much quicker rather than rotating into that position, which I think we found. We tried to be as offensive as we can with what we had available. And I thought George Byas come on and had a real effect on the game. I thought Ronan played with real personality throughout. But I thought, yeah, other than that, we come up short in the attacking areas. And, yeah, we have to feel the disappointment and the pain. And, you know, certainly our supporters will be feeling that this evening. We're bitterly disappointed that we weren't able to show the best version of ourselves today and to give them something to look forward to in the coming weeks. But, like I said, I think if we're honest and we're dealing in the truth, then I think ultimately we got what we deserved.
Yeah, of course, we can only judge from what we see online, really, but there is a lot of anger towards some of the players that they weren't able to produce the performance that they needed. Do you have any anger towards the players today?
If I did, I wouldn't be sharing it with you. No, I think, listen, I understand that the Portsmouth supporters are the most passionate supporters in the country. With the passion and with the positivity and the unbelievable positivity, then naturally comes the other side and the bitter disappointment. And I understand why they would feel bitterly disappointed. We don't quite know what tomorrow brings for any of us, but if it is to be us, then I can promise that there'll be exciting times to come, because we won't rest until we make that happen and make that a reality. And we'll be working incredibly hard, relentlessly, to make sure that we create a Portsmouth team that the people can be proud of. And that, to me, has absolutely been my aim if we're given that chance.
Some strong yet necessary words there from head coach Danny Cowley, who has today agreed a deal with the club to become the head coach on a permanent basis. Bringing Jamie and Josh back into the conversation now then. And Josh, the news a lot of Pompey fans were hoping for this afternoon, we've touched on it a little bit already tonight, but the permanent appointment of the Cowley brothers at Fratton Park, how important was it for the club to get this done as quickly as possible?
Yeah, it was. And I think it's really good that it's been done. It would have seemed pointless if they'd taken 2 weeks to make the appointment, which we pretty much knew was going to happen. I guess, from my point of view, that the club need to have turned around to Danny Cowley and said, look, as part of your contract, this is the budget that you're going to have, and we're going to financially back you. If they're going to give him a long-term contract and not back him, then it almost seems pointless, because you'll be looking at it at the end of next season thinking, well, just you would argue that if you don't back Cowley, then you can't overturn this squad.
Yeah.
And you'll probably end up seventh or eighth next season, and there would be fans sort of saying, well, actually, it hasn't worked. Do we have to look elsewhere? I'm fully confident that Danny Cowley can completely turn this around. I think what Pompey fans might have to accept is that a complete squad overhaul doesn't necessarily mean that promotion is going to happen straight away. It might mean that it will take a season of an entirely new squad to get used to the sort of new scenario of playing at Fratton Park and playing together. But at the end of the day, I think Danny Cowley will know and will thrive off the fact that it's now all in his hands, his and Nicky's hands. It will be his squad. It will be his players that have been brought in to play his way. And if that doesn't work, then he will probably hold his hands up and say, well, I've not been able to get it done. But I'm fully confident that with his own players, we've seen glimpses of it this season of, like, Pompey fans are excited about the fact that it's attacking football, it's fast-paced, it's pressing. That's what Pompey fans want to see. Danny Cowley knows that. As Jamie said earlier, he fully believes in what Pompey fans want, and he says everything that we want to hear. But he now has the chance to go out, put his own stamp on things, and prove why he's been given this contract. Mm. And I'm excited. I think once the transfer window opens, one of my favourite times of year, I think we'll sort of see how ambitious Pompey are going to be as a club. Not necessarily under the Cowleys, but as a club, what sort of players, a calibre of players we're going to look to bring in.
Just to add to that as well, Josh, an article released by our colleagues at the Portsmouth News within the last, I think, half an hour to an hour or so. They've been in talks with Danny Cowley, Mark Catlin, the board at Fratton Park, and they're claiming that they will back Danny Cowley financially, and they want him to reinvent this Pompey squad and bring in their own identity, and they're claiming that they will back the Cowleys this summer. So just to add to what you're saying there, Josh, you know, so far we are being told that that will be the case. So who knows? Like you say, we will wait and see in the summer if that does happen. Hopefully it does. But yeah, from what we're being told so far, you know, they are going to be financially backed in the summer. Plenty more text.
I think you look at that, and the one thing I would argue with that article is the first line or the second line in that is, Pompey will financially back Danny Cowley, but we will do it with sustainability and stuff like that. So yeah. I don't think actually our budget will change much. I think a lot of it would be based around the fact that we've got so many players out of contract and probably higher profile players who are probably on a higher wage, so that will free up a lot of money. But I think we sort of need to read between the lines. I don't think it's that we'll back him, but I don't think they're going to absolutely go mad and try and buy the division. No. I think it'll be, we'll financially back Danny Cowley, but we won't put ourselves in danger financially, not without any income coming. I don't think the budget will change much, but it's good to hear a positive sort of sound anyway.
Mike T and Crispy Bacon Sarnie South Sea. Good evening, Jake Away. First, Pompey need to sign up with Cowleys. Well, Mike, done. Second, it's time for a tasty Sarnie. I'm not sure that can be done as well. That can be arranged, Mike T and Crispy Bacon Sarnie. Selsey, no name on this text, but they say that we need Bacalis to go and get the players in and get rid of the trash. No name on that text, but that's been texted into the show this evening. Hobgoblin on Twitter. Imbalanced squad, heavy on central midfield, never had enough competition in other areas. Kenny seemed to have sucked any attacking intent from the players, but I'm excited to see what Bacalis will bring in. Sam Carter, regular guest here on the Football Hour. The first few games are a clear indication of how they can get a side playing. Perhaps worrying that form didn't carry on, but that's surely more of an indication of the quality of our squad. A big overhaul needed in the summer, but I'm a lot more confident now that they are in charge. Sam Carter there on Twitter. Ben Chu, he's got in touch tonight. He said, perfect guys for the job. I really like their positive attitude and honesty to all situations. They have all of exactly what we've lacked in management skills over these last few years under Kenny Jackett. Ben Chu on Twitter there. And a final one before we do move on. Michael Spencer. He says, I would keep McGilvery...
Don't listen to anything he's got to say. Oh dear, not a Spencer.
Is he a relation of yours, Jamie, by any chance?
He might be, yeah. I've got another brother that thinks Tom Huddleston's a good idea in our midfield. So that tells you how much footballing knowledge we've
Tom
got as a
Huddleston?
Family.
Yeah, Michael Spencer, he's got in touch nonetheless, Jamie. He says, I'd keep McGilvery, Watmore, Close and Brown. After then, possibly Williams. After seeing Brown's post-match antics, I do not want to see him in a Pompey shirt again. It's the thought of Michael Spencer there on social media. OK, there is still just over 20 minutes to get your final thoughts into the panel this evening. All the usual ways to get in touch tonight, if you don't know them by now, can be found on our website, expressfm.com. When we return, we're going to break away from the Pompey chat very briefly to speak to the manager of the United Services of Portsmouth, Glenn Turnbull, who has agreed to come on and talk about their incredible FA Vars run, as well as to go over Saturday's heartbreaking semi-final defeat. It's one you will not want to miss, after which I'll be bringing Jamie and Josh back in to take a quick look ahead to next season before wrapping up around about 7 o'clock. Join us again for the conclusion of tonight's show. This is the Monday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour, supported this season by our good friends at Stagecoach across the South. Still to come in the final 15 minutes of this evening's show, we'll be taking a listen to the 6 chosen nominations for Express FM Goal of the Season, revealing just how you can cast your vote, as well as looking forward to the 2021-2022 campaign. But before we do any of that, I'm thrilled to say that for one final time this season, Glenn Turnbull is on the line. Glenn, thank you so much for once again coming on to the show. It is great to speak once more.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
So, Glenn, you've had a couple of days now to reflect on the events of Saturday. How are you feeling now looking back on it?
Still hurts. Still really hurts. The WhatsApp group, the boys are... They're feeling it as well, but we'll regroup. We'll be okay.
There's absolutely no shying away from, you know, how heartbreaking it was. You know, from for listeners back home, United Services of Portsmouth at the weekend lost out at the semi-final stage of the FA Vars after an incredible run. You held on for so long, Glenn, to lose on penalties. Truly, truly devastating. I've got no emotional connection to the United Services, but having seen your reaction, the reaction of your players, it was, you know, so difficult not to feel that emotion and, you know, get attached myself. How have the players been dealing with it all since that?
We're a tight-knit group, so we all went back to one of the co-managers' houses in his garden, and we had a few drinks together. We were there, you know, stayed around the ground a little bit. Luckily, there was a game of cricket going on as well on the ground, so the groundsman let us stay in the changing rooms for a little bit longer. We've just been there for each other. Some of them, you know, some of the older lads like Pricey, and they're gutted because they see this as possibly their last chance. Some of the younger lads are gutted because they've heard the stories from Jeffers and from Pricey about this don't come around very often, but we'll be back. We'll come back stronger. So, yeah, you know, for now it's painful, but we look forward and we'll go again.
Let's dwell no further, though, Glenn. Let's instead reflect on what was such an incredible run. Truly an inspiring underdog story. To get to that stage of the competition anyway was a phenomenal achievement in itself. Defeating Portchester in the second qualifying round, Bournemouth in the first round proper, before seeing off Brockenhurst, Millbrook, Christchurch, Tavistock and Flackwell Heath. Six of those wins against sides of a higher level than the United Services, rightfully earning the title of Giant Killing Kings. You must be looking back at that with just immense pride.
Absolutely. You know, when you reel them off, I think over 200 odd days ago when we played Portchester, no one expected us to get past that round. But as the time moved on, the belief grew. And whilst, you know, every side we played got better and better, but we haven't, it's going to sound really sour grapes, I don't mean it in that way, but we haven't been beaten by a side. We drew 1-1 with a side that had three or four Southern Premiership or higher standard players. I think one of their forwards was playing in Havant's League just before Christmas from the weekend. And to lose on penalties is what it is. Alan Knight sent me a message actually on Saturday night. Made me laugh actually when he said, you know, tell me all about losing penalties. I was trying to forget 1992, but that took me straight back there as well. But yeah.
Look, for a team built mostly of local lads, you know, in particular some names in there with connections to the Royal Navy, including, of course, yourself and your assistant, Fraser Quirk, reaching the semi-final of a national competition has deservedly put United Services on the map. Now your future lies at Moneyfields from next season, but do you see any reasons to why the United Services can't push on, you know, and achieve more, especially considering the application for promotion from the Division 1 of the Wessex League?
So hopefully that will be ratified next week. Mm-hmm. For promotion for us. I'll always say us. It is a little bit like going home to Moneyfields. It's where I started. But United Services now has a huge part of my heart, if not the biggest part. But as a club, to be put on the map in the way we have, the support we've had from the football community, I think, honestly, the weekend, Wessex managers who during the season, you know, in the heat of battle on the sidelines, you have some words with and stuff, but that they phoned and all the local managers from every side, from Chichester to all the Wessex teams, have all phoned me personally. I had a fantastic message from Miles Rutherford and Graham G too at Chichester, Burmy, Wilkie, Pete Stiles. All of them have been messaging. Dave Carter messaged me almost every week just to give me, you know, a bit of advice. Cats, it's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And to have for United Services to receive that sort of support, it has really put them on the map and put us on the map. And hopefully whoever comes in behind me can carry that on.
Yeah. And just finally, Glenn, really quickly, humble in defeat. Your first reaction on Saturday was, you know, immediately to congratulate Binfield, continuing to send your best wishes on social media too. Are you going to be rooting for them in the final?
Yes, because then I can say I got beat by the winners.
Exactly. That is the best way to look at it. Glenn, thank you ever so much for joining us tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure, not just this evening to speak to you, but over the last 3 or 4 weeks as well. Have a fantastic summer. You've got a cup final to look forward to as well. But yeah, take care of yourselves and thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you very much, Jake. Thank you for all your support.
Never a problem. So that was Glenn Turnbull, manager of United Services of Portsmouth, who suffered heartbreak of the cruelest order at the weekend, falling at the final hurdle in the FA Vase, defeated at home to Binfield on penalties at the semi-final stage, having taken the lead into half-time. An inspiring run nonetheless, undoubtedly doing the city and the non-league scene in Portsmouth very, very proud. Moving on then, and yesterday afternoon, following the conclusion of Pompey's defeat at home to Accrington, me, Liam and Ryan revealed our 6 nominations for the Express FM Goal of the Season, giving you back home the chance to vote for your favourite, with the winning strike to be revealed live on the Football Hour this coming Friday night. In case you missed it, here's a reminder of all of the goals that have been put forward. Pompey Live, Express FM Goal of the Season. Goal number 1, Marcus Harness, October the 3rd, Burton Albion away.
Out to the right-hand side, Curtis for Portsmouth, to the feet of Harness, a quick turn in the penalty area. Marcus Harness, what a magnificent way to seal a hat-trick! Harney's wonderful quick footwork and then a brilliant finish, dinking the ball over the goalkeeper. It's a match ball for Harney's. It should be 3 points for Pompey.
Goal number two, Tom Naylor, November 28th, Kings Lynn at home.
Pompey come down the left-hand side. Good ball down towards Curtis at the dead ball line. Pulls it back to the edge of the penalty area. It comes through to Williams. Naylor's shot. Oh, what a goal! What a strike from Tom Naylor. You can't stop him scoring. There's nothing the keeper can do about that. It's straight in the top corner.
Goal number three, Tom Naylor, December 5th, Peterborough at home.
And now Curtis has it on the left to Brown, to Cannon. And Curtis was free if he turned around. Cannon might hit this from distance. Instead, lays it for Naylor. He will hit this from here. And he'll score a brilliant goal! Naylor again! That is magnificent! In front of the Bratton end. He just slammed it into the top corner. He didn't have a prayer.
Goal number four. Ryan Williams, January 19th, AFC Wimbledon at home.
Marcus to Williams, and Portsmouth could be in here. Williams is left, but it's shot. What a brilliant goal! Magnificent strike from Ryan Williams. His first at Bratton Park this season. Pompey double the lead in some style.
Goal number five, Andy Cannon, April 5th, Wigan Athletic away.
Loose ball's picked up by Cannon, and Cannon's first touch will be to drive towards the penalty area. He might want to hit one from here, Cannon. He does, and it's a wonderful goal! What an impact for a substitute! Andy Cannon, he's been on the pitch for 30 seconds, and he's placed the ball beyond Jamie Jones, and Pompey take the lead.
Goal number six, Ronan Curtis, April 24th, Bristol Rovers at home.
Close, bringing it over halfway. Now Curtis has got Byers ahead of him. Curtis and Byers almost getting in each other's way. Lovely touch from Byers back to Curtis in the area. Curtis scores! A really well-worked Portsmouth goal. Lovely touch from Byers. And Curtis doing what he does best, curling the ball inside the far corner. Deadlock broken on 26 minutes.
Voting closes at 5 p.m. on Friday evening. Like I said before, the winning goal will be revealed live on the Football Hour, the final show of the season, this Friday between 6 and 7. I'll be playing extended highlights from Pompey season before calling my Pompey Live colleagues Liam and Ryan to sum up the Blues campaign and look ahead to the next. Head to expressfm.com where you can cast your vote online. OK, joining me once again very shortly for the next 3 or 4 minutes to sum up tonight's show, Jamie Spencer and Josh Sweetman over the phone lines. Jamie Spencer, just heard our nominations for goal of the season. Are you in agreement with any of those? Do you have any particular goals you'd like to point out that we haven't?
Yeah, no, look, I think the Naylor one against Peterborough for me was the sweet strike that he had there and really deserved it. He could have had a competition on his own this season, couldn't he? So, he probably gets it for me.
How about you, Josh? Have you got a particular one that stands out in your memory?
I'd probably agree with Jamie on the Naylor strike, but I think for technique, Marcus Harness's goal was absolutely fantastic.
Certainly some good contenders within that six as well, you know, all for varying, you know, reasons as well. That vote ends on Friday night, 5 o'clock. Get online, expressfm.com to cast your vote. Let's get through some more text, tweets and emails before we do leave you then. And Mockers has got in touch. He says, I bet Ian Dazoo would have put more heart and soul into that game on Sunday. The thoughts of Mockers there. And on the emails, Dave Byrne, well, this has been waiting to happen for ages. Various performances over the last three seasons have highlighted the lack of mental strength resulting in inconsistency among this group of players. News of a managerial appointment and a proper clear out is great and long overdue. We need a lot more character in our side. Some teams near the bottom have made us look very ordinary at times. Fans have got out of the habit of going to Fratton, and yesterday's performance was hardly what we needed. But today's news may have helped rekindle a little faith among the faithful. In a week when we lost our player and a man more than worthy of wearing the blue shirt, the performance yesterday was a disgrace. Dave in Lisfair on the emails. Gav Jones, hi Jake and guests. Is it just me or do any of you guys think it's slightly funny that the whole time Jackett was in charge, it was always his fault and he was absolutely crucified by supporters for the last 2 years while the players were getting away scot-free. But now suddenly, because supporters have a manager they like, the blame now shifts to the players instead of the manager. The thoughts of Gav Jones there on the emails. Chris Elston, sadly we were not good enough. The team had far too many players out of form at the same time. Marquis, Naylor, Curtis and Harness all come to in mind. I don't ask for much, but passion, commitment and determination is a must. The players have none of this. Tattooed Mike on Twitter. Let's face it, if we as fans did our jobs as badly as those players did yesterday, we would not be in our job for long. So on that note, let's hope that most of that squad won't be returning next season. Okay, let's take a look at the players that are out of contract at Fratton Park in the summer then. And there are 11 of them. They include Craig McGillivray, Duncan Turnbull, who is currently on loan at Las Vegas Lights in the United States, Jack Watmore, Hadji Minoga, Charlie Daniels, the captain, Tom Naylor, Bryn Morris, Ben Close, Andy Cannon, Ryan Williams and Jordi Hawula, all out of contract this summer. Not forgetting those that have returned to their parent clubs following the expiration of their loan deals, Rasmus Nikolaisen, George Byers and Harvey White. And let's take a look at some potential names that could be penned up by Danny and Nicky Carley next season, some players out of contract that could be of interest to Pompey fans. Joe Piggott, striker at AFC Wimbledon, scored 20 goals this season. Dion Charles of Accrington Stanley, he's also out of contract in the summer. He's scored 19 league goals this season. Verdane Oliver of Gillingham, another one to look at. He scored 17. Rhys James, left back at Doncaster, he scored twice against Pompey this season. Luke O'Neill of Sunderland, he's right back and he can also play in central midfield, but he could be a bit of a difficult one to lure away. So plenty of options in the free agent market for Pompey to look at next season, with so many players out of contract. Well, I'm afraid we've reached the time of the evening where we say our goodbyes, gents. Jamie Spencer, thank you for calling in tonight. Thanks for your contributions throughout the season. Have a great and a safe summer. Hopefully we will reunite in some capacity next season.
Yeah, absolutely, Jake. It'd be great to get back in the studio. And thanks to all of you guys for the Pompey Live coverage. It's been great over this season. Obviously, it's been really difficult, but well done.
Thank you, Jamie. And to you, Josh, a big thanks for phoning up tonight. It's been my pleasure to welcome you onto the show this season. Same goes for you, mate. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jake. And here's hoping that we were a bit more successful next season.
Oh, that would be absolutely lovely, wouldn't it? That would be absolutely lovely. Right then, there we have it. That draws an end to the penultimate Football Hour of the season. Once again, a big thank you to both Jamie and Josh for joining me tonight. Cheers to Glenn Turnbull for calling in for a chat as well. And thanks to Stagecoach Across the South for supporting the show this season. Okay, coming up tonight on Express, your evening is looking like this. Jeff and Aid return with the Soft Rock Show after news headlines at 7. They've got the latest from Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, the Jeff Carlson Band and local artist Myriad, as well as a look back at events in music history from this week. Scattering the Roots with Dan Ogus is back from 9 o'clock tonight, playing folk, blues and roots music through until 11, when we've got the Express Wind Down to take you into the early hours of the morning, 2 a.m. if you're still up by that time. Mason Jordan is back with Express Breakfast tomorrow morning from 8, handing over to Liam Howells at 10. Ian is on from 1 through till 4, which is when James Percy once again takes over with Drive Time. Have yourselves a great week, Pompey fans. I'll be back on Friday night for the final show of the season with Liam and Ryan to take a listen back to how the last 8 months have unfolded, as well as to reveal the Express FM goal of the season, as chosen by you. This episode will be available to listen back to via our website very shortly in case you tuned in late. But until Friday, Blues fans, thank you for listening. Take care, stay safe, and good night.